Dear Lord, please give to us hands that work for you, and give us feet, Lord, to walk in your way. Give to us eyes so that we see as you see. Give to us, take your words each day. Give to us, unto your Creator eternal, holiness, truth, mercy, and love. Wisdom and justice and kindness and purity, for all of these gifts we have sent from above. Giver of life, it is your word eternal, as Jesus your Son died to save us from sin. The light of your Spirit bestowed to us sinners, that we may shine brightly without and within. Think in us, our spirits too, that we may pray from thee. Above all, give us our hearts that you live in us. Give us our lives to be whom we should be. We give thanks to you, our Creator eternal, holiness, truth, mercy, goodness, and love, wisdom and justice and kindness and purity, for all of these gifts you have sent from above. Giver of life, it is your word eternal, as Jesus your Son died to save us from sin. The light of your Spirit bestowed to us sinners, that we might shine brightly without and within. Gather us now as a church all together, united to serve in the work of your kingdom.
Welcome to worship. Welcome to worship. It's wonderful to have you here. I invite you to rise as you are able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for planting in us the seed of your word. By your Holy Spirit, help us to receive it with joy, live according to it, and grow in faith and hope and love through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
To you, O Lord, Almighty God, I dedicate this day. That your free spirit lives in me and lifts me up, I pray. And that your shining face casts a light on me to break away the darkness so I can see. I praise you, Holy Lord, to you I pray. That in your love my light will shine each day. How might I live a new life, Lord, and strive your will to do? To cast away all selfishness and live my life for you. Since from this life my own desires are torn, then by your grace and spirit, Lord, I'm reborn. I praise you, O Holy Lord, to you I pray. That in your love my light will shine every day. Our loving Jesus died for all, he rose on Easter morn. Now with the Spirit in our hearts, we are all reborn.
A reading from Isaiah. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. You are to be praised, O God, in Zion. To you shall vows be fulfilled. Our sins are stronger than we are, but you blot out our transgressions. Awesome things will you show us in your righteousness, O God of our salvation, O hope of all the ends of the earth and of the oceans far away. You still the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the clamor of the peoples. You visit the earth and water it abundantly. You make it very plenteous. The river of God is full of water. You prepare the grain, for so you provide for the earth. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths overflow with plenty. May the meadows cover themselves with flocks, and the valleys cloak themselves with grain. Let them shout for joy and sing. A reading from Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and to deal with sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun arose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away that which is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a little while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord. Seated. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When we hear the term the Word of God, what do we think of? Almost invariably, right? We think of the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God. We understand that. But Karl Barth, one of the greatest theologians of modern times, says the Bible is not the Word of God, but it contains the Word of God. So what does that mean? What is the Word of God exactly? If it's not the words of the Bible, what is it? So I want to share a story that might point us in that direction. What is the Word of God? This is a story that Tony Campolo tells. Tony was going to a Pentecostal gathering, And before the event started, Tony wanted to gather with the leaders because they wanted to pray for him. He wanted to pray with them. And if you've ever been in a Pentecostal prayer group, you'll know that while one person is technically leading the prayer, everyone is praying. Everyone is praying aloud. One guy in particular was praying quite loudly, and he wasn't praying for Tony. Tony heard him saying, "Oh God, please reach out today and touch Bernie." Then the guy went on to help God figure out who Bernie was and what the problem was. He said, "Oh God, you know Bernie Stolfitz, who lives in the blue trailer in that first road in the park next to exit 40 off the highway. Bernie is struggling and he's about to leave his wife Elsie. And he's very confused. And Elsie loves him so much. And he just doesn't realize how much she loves him and wants to work things out with him. Oh Lord, just reach out to Bernie today and lead him home to that blue trailer." Tony, of course, has simply left off praying entirely and now is wondering, "Okay, why are you telling God where Bernie lives? Shouldn't God know that already?" And other such questions popped into Tony's mind. But eventually the prayer time ended and Tony did his thing and everybody had a great time. And Tony left to drive home. And as he's getting near the highway, Tony sees a hitchhiker. And while this is often an ill-advised thing to do, Tony decided that the guy looked harmless enough and offered him a ride. The guy got in and was clearly troubled about something. And as they were making small talk, he said his name is Bernie Stolfitz. And he's heading to the next town. So Tony immediately pulled off and turned around. And the guy asked him, puzzled, "What are you doing?" Tony said, "I am taking you home. Your wife Elsie is sitting at home right now crying, wanting you to come home more than anything else in the world, and you just don't realize how much she loves you." And Tony drove to that exit 40 and got off the highway and turned onto the first road and drove to a blue trailer. And as they pulled up, a weeping Elsie came to the door and said, "Bernie, what's going on?" Bernie looked at her and said, "Honey, we need to talk." Then he turned to Tony and said, "How did you know all this?" To which Tony says, "God told me." Right? The Word of God. What is it? And where does it come from? And how do we hear it? The Word of God is living and active and all around us. It shows itself to us in the faces of our neighbors, in the air we breathe, and the sky we see when we look up to heaven. The Word of God is in our actions and attitudes and words and thoughts. The Word of God is in the stories we hear and the stories we tell. And most especially in the story of Jesus, the homeless teacher who went around showing the world what the reign of God looks like. That the reign of God is here and is evident in our relationships and the love we share. Jesus is the Word of God, just as the stories about him are the Word of God, just as the stories about us are the Word of God. The Word of God comes to us in so many forms, like it did for Tony. So in our gospel for today, what could this parable mean? What could it be pointing us toward? How might we hear this parable in a different way? How might the Word of God come to us in an unexpected way in our time?
Well, how about this? The Word of God comes to us in the form of our conversations. Specifically, I want to share with you today conversations about race. Race is a socially constructed concept that was used to subjugate slaves in the U.S. White European Americans used race to prove that whites are superior mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And of course, all that is, to use the politest term I can, BS. But it has been and is still being used to limit access to resources and opportunities to people of color. Have you ever heard the term white privilege? Anybody? Yeah, some of us have. White privilege. It's used to describe the unwritten and unconscious advantages that white people have and have had throughout American history. As a white person, I can get pulled over for speeding and not have to worry about being shot in my car. That's not true for people of color. As a white person, I can put a house on the market and be fairly certain of it being valued fairly and honestly, unlike people of color, whose houses have been historically undervalued simply because of their race. As a white person, I can borrow money easier, I can get better health care, I can walk through a neighborhood without having the cops called on me. Not to mention the subtle things like those flesh-colored bandages that are all light beige, right? Like the items in the hair care aisle for white people just being called hair care. But for people of color, they're called ethnic hair care. All the things like that, historically, that have happened and still happen today. All of these things are true and evidence-based. You can look them up and find studies that show these things. If you're a white person, this is not a problem for you. Because privilege is never a problem for the privileged, only for the non-privileged. But when we talk about white privilege in America, we see several reactions from white people. Some will hear the term white privilege and say, there's no such thing. When slavery ended, the Constitution made that illegal. So there's no way it could still be happening. They refuse to even see the problem of their own privilege in society. Some will hear the term white privilege and say, oh yeah, I know that I have privilege and advantages that people of color don't. And I want to help bring about equity in our society. Let's do this. But when they feel the real resistance of society to any change, they give up because it's hard work to change such an embedded evil. Some will hear the term white privilege and say, I hear what you're saying and I agree, but I have no privilege. I was born into a poor home, couldn't afford to go to a good college, and have to work hard just to pay the bills. I don't have time to even rest, let alone help work for equity for others. And so they allow their own limited burdens to prevent them from doing what they know is right. And some people will hear the term white privilege and say, tell me more about that. I know that there's been a history of systemic oppression of people of color, but I need to learn more. I know I have had opportunities that came to me because I am white, and I don't think that's right. I want to work together to eliminate this immoral practice. Hear then the meaning of the parable of the sower. The one who refuses to see their own privilege is the seed on the path. the one who sees the issue but cannot do the hard work to eradicate it is the seed in the rocks. The one who sees the problem but claims to not have the resources is the seed among the thorns. And the one who sees the problem of white privilege and works to learn and do the hard work of confronting it is the seed in good soil. And so the Word of God is here. It is here. And it is here. And we know it. It's among us and around us, planting seed in our hearts. God has given us the Word, has given us Jesus in our hearts and in our lives, so that we might take that seed and scatter it abundantly in our world. Jesus talked about the reign of God to a world that only knew conquest and power and greed. He offered a new way of living God's love through generosity, compassion, acceptance, and advocacy. And the world killed him for it. But with greater compassion, God raised Jesus from the dead to show that there is no stopping the reign of God. There is no stopping the Word of God from germinating and growing in our hearts and our world. God has forgiven you through the cross of Christ, through the resurrection of Jesus, for the times you have refused to allow that seed to grow. And we've all done it. I've done it. You've done it. We have seen what is right and failed to do the work. God forgives us. And God always offers us another chance to live out the Word of God. It's never too late, because God always offers another chance. I invite you today to look around in the world in which you live and see the Word of God, and to be good soil for that seed to grow in you, to find the strength through the Spirit of God that dwells within you, to do the hard work of being the hands and feet of Christ in the world. It is a gift we've been given, and we are given new every day. And for that gift, we say thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Confident that God receives our joys and concerns, let us offer our prayers for the church, those in need, and all of creation. Guide your church, O God, to sow seeds of forgiveness and righteousness on good soil. Direct your people to proclaim your love in this congregation and throughout the world. Hear us, O God. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, Paul, our presiding minister today, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, God, in your mercy. Sustain your creation, O God, by sending favorable weather, causing trees and fields to grow, protecting waterways from pollution, and instilling in all people the need to be good stewards. Hear us, O God. Maintain peace among all people, O God, and raise up lawyers to work for justice in the courts, advocates to speak for the downtrodden, and politicians to work on behalf of the common good. Hear us, O God. Heal those who are sick, O God, especially Charlie, Justin, Tracy, Mike, Susie, Donna, Joellen, Carol, Mary, Pat, Dixon, Alice, Pat and Charlie, Debbie, Candace, Cheryl, Barb, Audrey, Jerry, Phyllis, Dave, Ella, Donna and Melina, Cheryl, Rick, Janet, Lucas, John, Vong, Mary, Diane, Carol, and our homebound. Guide healthcare workers to care for those who suffer, scientists to conduct life-saving research, and counselors to care for victims of sexual abuse and exploitation. Hear us, O God. Answer the prayers of those gathered in worship, O God. Protect those who travel near and far, accompany visitors to this congregation, and nurture our faith. Hear us, O God. Inspire us by the faithful departed, O God, examples of your embodied love, whose confidence in the resurrection guides us in living lives worthy of the gospel. Hear us, O God.
Into your hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray. In the name of the one who reconciled all creation to himself, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also
with you. Lift up your hearts.
Give them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy God most mighty, O God most merciful, O God our rock and our salvation, hear us as we praise, call us to your table, grant us your life. When the earth was a formless void, you formed order and beauty. When Abraham and Sarah were barren, you sent them a child. When the Israelites were enslaved, you led them to freedom. Ruth faced starvation, David fought Goliath, and the psalmist cried out for healing, and full of compassion, you granted the people your life. You entered our sorrows in Jesus, our brother. He was born among the poor. He lived under oppression. He wept over the city. With infinite love, he granted the people your life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his death, we cry out, "Amen."
Amen.
Celebrating his resurrection, we shout, "Amen."
Amen.
Trusting his presence in every time and place, we plead, "Amen." O God, you are breath. Send your spirit on this meal. O God, you are bread. Feed us with yourself. O God, you are wine. Warm our hearts and make us one. O God, you are fire. Transform us with hope. O God, most majestic. O God, most motherly. O God, our strength and our song. You show us a vision of a tree of life, with fruits for all and leaves that heal the nations. Grant us such life, the life of the Father to the Son, the life of the Spirit of our risen Savior, life in you, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. We will have communion at the rails today. The ushers will offer you a cup. Come forward and kneel by the rails if you're able. And I invite those who are going to Children's Church to come forward at this time. You have been filled with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go tell the whole world of his love. Amen. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. St. John Lutheran Church Windfall is centered in the Word, strengthened in the sacraments, sent into the community to share the love of Jesus. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.